A conversation with Scripture. I don't know if you do this. When you read your Bibles, do you talk to it? The Bible often talks of itself as something alive and living and able to speak to us. Well, you can talk to the Bible too. And I want to show you what I mean by that as we look at some very precious passage, I think, that is to me anyway. Let's just see what we've got here. It comes from Philippians chapter 4. You've probably heard it quite a few times. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always. Ah, well, easier said than done, isn't it? And what I mean by having a conversation with the Bible, I've written out a few questions here, a few that cropped up in my mind as I was reading this passage. Let's think about them for a little while anyway. How can I always rejoice? He says rejoice always. How can I show gentleness? Ah, well, that's a good one. And what does it mean by the Lord is near? Ah, one for all of us, eh? How can I stop being anxious? You better tell the doctor that one. Why should I pray? What good will it do? And what's the difference between prayer and petition? That's what he says in your prayers and petitions. And how can I be thankful when it doesn't always look quite so good? And what is God's peace? And how does it protect me? And of course, does it work? Well, they're all little questions that come into my mind. Maybe you don't. You've got all the answers already. But anyway, that's what I'm going to be looking at just for a little while anyway. Rejoice always. Well, he says rejoice. How can we rejoice always? Well, the clue, I think, is in the phrase that comes after that. Always rejoice in the Lord. We've got something in the Lord to rejoice about, if nothing else. I just thought, you know, where did Paul write this letter? Do you know? He wrote it from Rome. But he wasn't in the hotel in Rome. He was in prison in Rome. I don't suppose it was the finest prison on earth either. So Paul's writing from prison in Rome, probably facing a trial for his life, and he still says, rejoice in the Lord always. Well, I suspect it was in the Lord that he managed to do it. And why? Because what God had done for him. Let's have a look at our next one anyway. Just want to think about the joy that we can have in the Lord, of course. Paul's joy. Remember, maybe you can, in Acts, where he was in prison, he'd been beaten up and in prison with Silas. At midnight, they were singing praises to God. Very strange, isn't it? You can't do that in the natural. I suspect that the Lord had really blessed them in the fact that they were suffering for Jesus' sake and that they'd been able to share the gospel to some degree, and God was going to do a new work in them, amongst them, in the place there in Ephesus, it was. Well, Jesus rejoiced as well. There's a lovely passage in Luke 10, here we have. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. So he says, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, he's the one who brings joy to us. But the amazing thing is that Jesus is rejoicing of Father being at work in people's lives, particularly those who are willing to hear and respond and listen. So that's the joy as well we can have. He's seeing God working in lives and circumstances. And Jesus also, we're told this from Hebrews, it says he would look beyond the cross, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus looked beyond the cross, and the joy set before him. He knew that he had to go through a very, very difficult time, but he looked beyond that to see what ultimately it was going to bring, the glory of being in the presence of the Father again and ruling from the throne. Amazing. Well, brothers and sisters, we can look beyond the present into the future and see ourselves seated with Jesus. We're told that we're seated with him in heavenly places now. Well, the actuality is going to be even more amazing as well, of course. And Paul's writing about rejoicing because he's writing to people who were having a bit of an argument at times. There was a disagreement between some folks. Euodia and Syntyche were a couple of them he talks about. So rejoicing is a cure for discord. You thank the Lord for things instead of grumping about it. And it brings peace to an unsettled mind. I've got a picture there of a window. A window lets light in. And in a way, joy does that. Rejoicing, being thankful, lets light into things. It begins to change the way we see things. So rejoice in the Lord. That's number one. Let your gentleness be evident to all, it says. Well, that's the fruit of the Spirit again. The Holy Spirit can produce in us a gentleness of mind and attitude. A calm, gentle, unstressed. Are you feeling stressed? Well, one of the reasons we needn't be in a panic, we can be calm and gentle, is because we're aware that the Lord is in charge. The Lord's in charge in every situation, although we may not always see it, that He is. And that affects how we can react to situations. Lord, if you're in charge, then I know it's going to work out. That's how our attitude can be. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Well, the Lord is near. What does he mean by the Lord is near? I've written a quote there from Psalm 124, verse 2, where it says there, if the Lord had not been on our side, that's how it's translated in the NIV. The actual original doesn't say, if the Lord had not been on our side. It says, if the Lord had not been for us. Well, he's got the Lord for you. Who can be against you? That's what Paul is saying in Romans, of course. The Lord is near. Well, I think he means, of course, when he says the Lord is near, that he's coming soon. Yes, that's part of it. It's been a long time for us, hasn't it? But as far as the Lord's concerned, a day is as a thousand years like a day. He's coming soon. But when Jesus came and ministered in Galilee and in Israel, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or the kingdom of heaven is near. But what Jesus meant by that was that it wasn't coming, that it had arrived. When he says it's at hand, he means it's here already. And I think when Paul says the Lord is near, we need to remember not only that he's coming soon, but he's here now also. It's one of the most important things we can have as Christians, is to know the presence of Jesus in our lives. You need to take time for that, to start the day with him, really. Let the Lord begin to make himself, or make you aware of his presence in you. Because if you're a Christian, you've got Jesus in you by his Spirit. But we need to be aware of that, and to know that. And as we do that, and look to him, we can be more controlled in that sense, under his control. The Lord is near. Praise the Lord. And then we're told to pray. Don't be anxious about anything, pray about everything. That's one translation. I've got two pictures there in how you can use your hands. Yeah? You can use them to bite your nails, or you can use them to pray. Why does the Lord say to us, don't be anxious all the time? Why does he keep saying that in the Bible? I suspect he knows that human beings are rather prone to anxiety. It's a very uncertain world. We're not in charge. I think that's what the coronavirus has taught the world to some degree. We're not in charge. We try and we do our bit, but ultimately things are beyond our control. But we get anxious about that. So we're called to pray. Pray. Don't be anxious about anything. Pray about everything. That's what he says. But I just want to add a balance to that. We're not to be anxious, but that doesn't mean to say we just forget and ignore everything. There's a difference between care and anxiety. I think you're aware of that. Don't be anxious, but we're to be careful in the modern sense. The old word careful meant to be anxious, but now it means to be like the ant. Here's the ant for you. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. So the ant doesn't worry about tomorrow, it makes preparations for tomorrow without getting all worried about it. So that's the idea. We're to be people who are wise and make provision, but not get into fear and panic over it all. So back to the prayer thing. Now, don't be anxious about anything, pray about everything. Why pray? Because God knows already, doesn't he? God knows everything. He knows what's going to happen and he knows what's happened. God knows everything, so why pray about it? Well, One of the things that the Bible reveals to us is that God has chosen to work that way. He's chosen to give us an authority in his world. Remember when he created man, Adam, he said, I'm putting you in charge. He gave him authority. And so Adam acted as God's representative in the world. And that's become ours in Jesus, of course. God has given us authority. And he's chosen that he will act in response to my prayers. So God's waiting for me to pray to do something. That seems very strange, but that's how God has chosen it. And so it's all about our relationship with the Lord and our responsibility to ask him and to know that as he's given us the authority to ask through Jesus, that he's going to act. So our prayers matter. My prayers matter. Your prayers matter. What you pray about is what God will do. As we work, obviously according to his will. But that's one of the amazing things. So Paul's saying is pray, because it's so important. And I've got a quote there from Paul. The Apostle Paul said at the end of Ephesians, pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Well, we know what Paul is asking for, but the thing that strikes me as really amazing is, it's Paul who is asking. Paul is asking others to pray for him, because he obviously believes that when others pray for him, he'll do better. You got it? And that's true for all of us. We're there to pray for others so that they will be enabled by God to do the things that God wants them to do. So our prayers matter. We are involved in God's work in this world, which is an amazing privilege and quite a responsibility as well. Pray. Don't be anxious about anything. Pray about everything. Pray about everything. The small and the great things. There you are. There's the small and the great, isn't there? Have you heard the story? I've probably told you before. The story about the lady who asked the minister about praying about the big things. She says, I know we ought to pray about the big things, but what about the little things? You know, about getting a parking place or some little thing, you know? And his reply was ever so wise. He says, my dear lady, to the Almighty, they're all little things. So right, isn't it? Your big things are just little things to the Lord. So pray about everything. And what we might think is trivial sometimes can be really important. I don't know if you probably are aware of this, but God does things, often what seems through, very small things. Yeah, he can change the affairs of history and so on. I mean, Jean and I were watching a program the other night about how the codes of the Germans, the Nazis, was decoded at Bletchley Park. By some very clever people there. And one of the breakthroughs they got was that somebody sent a signal twice, because they got it a bit muddled up the first time. It was a mistake. They made a very small mistake, but it gave the breakthrough in order to crack the code. God can use, thank God that was an accident on their part, but it was intended by God to give us how to get through on the code. You see, so God can use tiny things. They're not insignificant. This is a strange way of working, but that's what he does. So pray about everything, all the little things as well as the big things. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Prayer. Well, prayer and thanksgiving, prayer and petition. Well, I'd like to just draw a distinction between prayer and petition, just to help us perhaps in how we pray. That prayer, I think, in a sense, is just thanking God, worshipping him, praising him, talking to him, having a conversation with our God. A great privilege. One of the signs that you're in a relationship with somebody is you talk to them. And so we can praise and worship our Lord. But the other thing is this petition. In some ways, our prayers can also be like, I've got the lawyer there, our prayers as intercessions. We're speaking on behalf of somebody else. So we ask God for things for others as well as for ourselves. And I've got the little chap there holding out his hands. He's got a petition there. And basically, I can't imagine a child coming to a person, to his parent or whatever, and saying, I'd like something. He won't say, I like something. He'll tell you exactly what he wants. And that's what Father wants with us. He knows what you want to say, but he wants you to ask, get specific about it. Pray about the details. They're really important. If there is a little thing or an important thing, tell him about it. And here's James at the bottom. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Now, God knows you need wisdom. He knows that. And I know you need wisdom. And I need wisdom too. But he's not going to give it unless you ask him. So what he's telling you is there, go and ask God. He's willing to give it. But that's the way prayer works. Prayer works as God has chosen. You ask and you receive. No ask, no receive. So God is waiting for you to pray. That's what Paul is saying. Pray about everything. Present your requests to God with thanksgiving. Why should you be thankful? Well, you can say thank you for what he's done already, his previous mercies. What God's done before, he's more than capable of doing again. And in fact, if he's done it before for you, he's going to do it again for you as you ask him. And the other is that we can thank God when we've just prayed because he's heard what we've said. He's not deaf. God's heard what we've said, and we can trust him that the prayer will be answered in all the wisdom that God has. So we pray about everything with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. There are two ways of reading the word, the phrase, the peace of God. It can be the peace that God gives us. It's the peace from God, in that sense. Or it is the peace that God has in himself. And that's the other kind of peace as well, God's kind. I quoted Jesus there as he says this to his disciples. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Yeah, so Jesus is speaking to the disciples. They were in a panic because he told them he was about to leave them. In fact, he was going to the cross. So they're all panicking, but he tells them, I leave my peace with you. His kind of peace is a very different kind of peace to the world's peace. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It transcends all understanding. That's a good way of saying is you have the foggiest about how it works. It's too big to understand. God's peace. Have you been there? I hope you have. When you've been in a situation and you ought to be worried. You ought to be anxious. But somehow you aren't. Have you felt that? Because that's what he's talking about. I can't figure out why it's working, Lord, but you're keeping me in peace. Because it goes beyond our understanding. It's too big to understand. But when you know it, it's too real to doubt. He's giving you peace. I remember a dear sister. She was pregnant, and she was warned that there may be a problem with the child. And she refused to go any further in terms of having any tests and things done on the child. She waited till the baby was born. And before the child was born, she said to me, you know, I ought to be worried, but I'm not. I really do feel at peace. She prayed about it. And I've got good news to tell you. The baby was a very healthy, bouncy boy who grew into a very big boy. And he's serving the Lord now. So, you see, your peace can be beyond your abilities to figure it all out. You can have it without knowing how it works. That's a good thing, isn't it? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That word guard, again, I've brought it up. Remember the other week we were looking at Psalm 21, and one of the key words in that psalm is that phrase, guard. He'll guard you. He'll stop the sun harming you by day and the moon by night. You know, he'll guard you while you're asleep and all those other things. And the word guard that he was using in the psalm is what Paul is thinking about here. It means to keep, protect, like the soldier, but it also means to provide, like the zookeeper there. He's not just guarding them to keep them safe, but he's also guarding them to watch over them so that they're kept well and they're provided for. And here's a lovely phrase I saw from, I believe it was Matthew Henry. It says, the Lord will keep us from sinning or sinking. When you're in those difficult times when you need to pray, the danger is you can find your own solutions or or just give up. The Lord says he'll enable us to stand up under those trials. Stop us from sinning or stop us from sinking and just giving up altogether. God's good, isn't he? God's really good. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's what it's going to guard, your heart and your mind. Well, there's the Spirit at the top, working in your spirit to produce the effects in you. It will guard your heart. Your hearts, your emotions, your feelings. Right? So he enables your heart not to get into a panic. Right? He controls your heart. Praise the Lord. He'll guard that. And the Holy Spirit also brings control over our minds. All those thoughts and confusions. Of course, the two are connected. When you start thinking crazy things, your heart starts doing crazy things as well. So they're tied together. So the Lord knows how we need both protected. And they're protected in Jesus, of course. It's Jesus at work doing that for us by his Spirit. Praise his name. Lovely verse. Maybe you've learnt this one before. I hope you can if you remember it. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. From Isaiah 26 verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all those whose thoughts are fixed on you. Well, easier said than done, maybe, but the Lord's there to help you do that. So let him keep and guard your heart and mind as you pray about everything, and don't be anxious about anything. Keep trusting him. I've got I was quite amused, but I think it's a good quote again from Matthew Henry. He says, if good men do not have a continual feast, it's their own fault. Yes. I know what he means. Do you know what he means? It means women as well, of course. If God's people don't have a continual feast, the reason is we've not asked him. That's what prayer's about. You've got to ask. Because God wants to answer, but he wants you to ask first. I suspect one of the reasons about that is that it encourages our faith, but it also builds up that relationship, yes? Father is not wanting to hold back, but he's chosen, he's worked it out so that it's through your asking, through your praying, that things are accomplished. What an amazing thing prayer must be, then, eh? Oh Lord, help us all to pray, eh? Let's just pray then, shall we? Father, thank you. Thank you for the promises that we have, that Paul knew what he was talking about, Lord. There in prison, writing to his brothers and sisters in Philippi, Lord, to tell them how to know the peace of God. Father, I pray that for each one of us, Lord, that in our circumstances, as varied and perhaps as challenging as they can be, Lord, may we know that peace that is beyond our ability to understand, and yet is not beyond our ability to experience. We thank you, Lord, you can work your peace in our hearts. As we bring our requests, we ask for ourselves and for others. And Lord, we do it all with thankfulness. Because, Lord, we've got a God who is not only willing to hear, but able to answer. And Lord, I thank you that the answers you give, quite often, Lord, are above and beyond what we ask or imagine. And Lord, thank you, we can ask. And you're able to answer. So we bless you and praise you and thank you for your amazing grace in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live.